Morning, everyone. I think, there we go. Thanks, Tom. Got me fired up now. I've been fired up all morning. I'm ready to roll. All right. You guys are looking pretty good. Ready to grow a little? That's what today's all about, growing. And as Dean said, we are growing today, and as this series has been going on, we've been connecting with the family and connecting and growing. Next week, Pastor Kim's going to be sharing living with us, and the last part of this series will be, radiating, just like that radiator you have at home that throws the heat. You're going to be throwing the Spirit all over everyone, so get ready for that one. And you know, Pastor Brian, he'll be fired up and rolling, ready to go for that one. So here we go. Growing. This is what we have here, and this is what crops do as well on the first part of it. Growing to spring up, develop into maturity. You know, you can just see a corn stalk. It grows up and develops into maturity, but that's how we are as well. We're sort of like that plant that gets planted and then grows to maturity, increase and expand and to have an increasing influence on people. When we continue to grow, we continue to be the student and then become the teacher, we grow in that. I'm going to share a growth moment with you. This growth moment happened to me at Landis Valley. Landis Valley Farm Museum, just down the road here a little bit. And it had to do with this and had to do with that. That stump of wood there with a wedge in it. And the reason I brought this along is because it was quite a growth moment for me. This is my first real job when I was growing up. I was in my 20s. I was making good money at this job. I was a groundskeeper. I was doing pretty good. I was the youngest guy there. Everyone else was at least 30 years older than me. You know, and I figured, well, I could show off and be a little cocky, being the young person I was, and show them how it's done by a young guy. So I was doing okay as long as I was cutting grass. I could mow circles around them and trim, and I think they let me do that because that made less work for them. So they were smarter than me. But they also told me we had to go split wood. And we had a lot of open hearth baking and cooking at the Landis Valley. They had a lot of houses that used a lot of wood. So they had a woodshed. It was an old chicken house. And they said, we're heading for the woodshed. Well, now, if you're an older person like me, sometimes when somebody told you you're heading to the woodshed, it wasn't always a good thing. Most times it wasn't. But these guys, I took them on their word. They told me to go grab a hammer. I knew what a hammer was. I was like, okay, that looks like one I can use. And he told me to get a wedge, and I was like, I waited to see where they all went to get a wedge because I wasn't quite sure because I'd never done this before. And then I went and grabbed the wedge, and then we walked up. We walked up to the woodshed. These old guys are just smiling. They're having a good time. They're going to mess with me. And they said, do you ever split wood? I said, of course not. How hard could it be? You know, how hard could splitting a piece of wood be? You swing the hammer, you hit the wedge, all goes well. So the one guy who took me sort of under his wing, he said, all you have to do is let the hammer do the work. And I went, duh, really? I know that's how it works. But he says, the weight of the hammer will split the wood. So I said, okay, these guys are over there tapping away and doing their thing. And I thought, well, I'm going to show these guys what I can do. Okay, so what I did was I got the hammer, I looked at that baby, and I said, and I had my youthful strength, which has passed. But I got up there. I probably should put this down, but what I did was I went like this. You know, they said, just let that, and I got like a baseball bat. I'm like ready to roll. And I go, here we go. And when I went, here we go, it went, my hammer head went that way, and I was holding the handle. All right? What I didn't listen to those guys. They told me, Let the hammer do the work. I thought, okay. The guy looked at me. They're laughing. These old-timers are laughing. They said, go down to the shop, get another handle. So I went down to the shop, and the mechanic down there, he's giving me all kinds of stuff. And I got another handle. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go. So I got up there, and these guys moved a little further away from me by this point. They gave me plenty of room, and they said, let's see you do it. So I said, you said let the hammer do the work. And I said, yep. So, same deal. I said, okay, hammer, you do the work. And I did almost like a golfer. I took a heck of a backswing, came around. Crack. Handle number two. Handle number two. Boy, I'll tell you what, my pride was sinking fast. Two more handles later, I split my first piece of wood. Now, did I learn a lesson? I'll show you how I learned the lesson to split wood. I'll show you how this works. All right, here we go. Here we go. I better come back here. All right. There's insurance on that. We don't worry about that. We're not worried about that, right, Dean? So I came up, split the wood. I'm not going to do it. The lesson I learned was in here. You see, my character was, my pride was diminished by humility, my arrogance by the knowledge that these guys had, and the growth came within me. I did learn to split wood. I love to split wood today, and I still am splitting wood. And like I said, the pride and the arrogance were tempered by humility and knowledge. That's where I grew. I grew in here. My character grew, and my cockiness was very diminished for years as those guys reminded me every time we went to the woodshed, remember that day, you know, and every day I was humbled just a little more. The reason I tell you this is because that growth happens within you. Sure, you have the wood. You can do that stuff. You learn how to do that. I did, and I taught other people how to split wood. But the growth happens within. That's what you got to remember, within your spirit. So you got to be a student. You got to listen to what the teachers are telling you to do. Okay? You got to be an apprentice. That's what I did with these guys. I hung out with them. They showed me the different skills and things I needed to do. The same thing you do as a disciple of Christ. You got to learn these same principles, same things. What I learned was, I couldn't get to C without doing A and B. I tried that. Four handles later, I started learning the ABCs. You have to start as a student. You got to listen. Become an apprentice and a disciple. See, a disciple is a Christian disciple, is a follower of Jesus who is in the process of growing in the Lord Jesus Christ and being equipped by the Holy Spirit who resides in our hearts to overcome the pressures and trials of the present life and become more and more Christ-like. That's what we're trying to do, folks. Every time we pick up this book, every time you're in a group, a life group, Sunday school group, whatever, every time you're studying the Word, you're becoming that disciple. This is where we find Timothy today, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2. Get your Bibles there and open them up to 2 Timothy. It's getting towards the back of the Bible there if you're looking for it. Don't know quite where to find it. I have a marker in mind. I was quick to get there. But this is sort of where Timothy was Paul was getting ready to send Timothy out on his own to be the teacher. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Again, they were getting ready to send Timothy out on his own. It was from Paul that Timothy heard the truth and the grace of the Christian faith. But the words he heard were by the witnesses of many. He could see how those words were just growing in people's lives, how people were growing from what they heard from Paul, what Paul was teaching everyone. And he knew that it was the right word. And he knew the word was from God. You see, every Christian must look on him or herself as a link between two generations. Not only have they received the faith, but we must pass it on. Here's what we got to do. Like we are with our kids, our children. The things we know about Jesus, the things we know about our faith, we got to pass it on. As grandparents, we need to pass it on. To our children and our grandchildren, we need to pass the story of Jesus, the life of Jesus on, so it will not be forgotten. Folks, I'll tell you, there's things that I've done with these trades that these folks showed me, trades from the past. Some of them are no longer done any longer because people don't want to do them, so they are forgotten. Well, I'm telling you now, at the church, if we don't do what we're supposed to do, this could die as well. The story of Jesus could die. If we, students of Jesus and teachers of the Word, are quiet, we got to keep that link together. We got to keep it together or the church will die. Can you ever imagine Jesus not in the world? Look at society today. Sometimes you wonder. But Timothy ends up being the teacher, the evangelist. When you become that teacher, you got to go out and be bold and spread the word. And that's what Timothy did. Regardless of his life, Jesus already gave his life for Timothy and all of us. So Timothy boldly went out and spoke the word. The teacher is a link in the living chain which stretches unbroken from the present moment back to Jesus Christ. The glory of teaching is that it links the present with the earthly life of Jesus. You see that? The teacher is the link of the living chain that remains unbroken. But the glory is teaching the present, the earthly life of Jesus, like he is walking with us right now. And he is. But we need to bring that life to Jesus through our lives that we share with each other. The ABC process. That's why I wanted to bring that in here. Timothy didn't go right to C. He would have been a mess. He wouldn't have known what he was talking about. That's the thing you got to remember when you go preaching the word or teaching the word. You have to be the student first. You need to learn about what's in the Bible. You need to learn what it is to be a Christian. That's the disciple part of it. Once you learn and you listen, you become that disciple. You follow somebody along. You follow that teacher who is teaching you. Someone who you can trust is speaking the truth. And eventually, they'll send you out on your own. And you'll be ready to go. And ready to spread the word. You see, we always, or should be, bouncing from student to teacher. You know what I mean by that? We're always learning. We're always looking to learn. I hope you are. Because if you're not, you're dying. But if you think you know everything that's in this book, read it again. Because I don't know if you have done this or not, but read a chapter 1 week and then go back and read the same chapter and see how it speaks to you again. And it keeps speaking to you and digging into you and making you grow through the word every time you check it out. So you end up being the student again, learning and being ready to be that teacher. Go with me to Acts 9. Verses 26 through 27 there. And Barnabas, have him up there because he was Paul's teacher. He was the one that came beside Paul, who was Saul at that time. and encouraged him to keep on going with the word. And he came beside Saul to help him get some, I don't know, credibility with the other disciples, because these guys were still scared of him, no matter if he was preaching the word or not. He also was the guy that killed or had killed a lot of Christians before that, a lot of their friends. So how are they going to believe someone who had done that? So here we go. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they all were afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Barnabas came along beside Saul and brought that credibility that he needed. And from that time on, the disciples walked with Paul and helped him learn the things that he needed to learn and helped him get on his way to become that teacher that he had become. But he had to go through the steps as well. The ABC, he had to do it. He had to be the student. He had to be the disciple. Then he became the teacher. And he poured out all of his knowledge into Timothy. You see how that works? See, I had a mentor in my day, a couple mentors in my days, and still do. One was Charlie Bieber. Charlie Bieber and I used to go out, and Charlie Bieber was a pastor here, for all you don't know that. If you've been here for years and years and years, you know Charlie. He was a pastor. He was one of the guys that went out with me when I was a licensed minister. I didn't know what I was doing when I started. I really didn't. I knew God called me, but I didn't know where it was going. So I need a lot of help. So Charlie took me out to do home communions, which is going taking the bread and the cup out to those folks who can't get here to celebrate communion with us. And what he used to do is 90% of the time, Charlie would do the work, and I'd just sit there and learn. And next time we go out, maybe it's 80%, and 70. And as he saw I was getting more comfortable, and he started handing things over to me. See, this is how this process works. You grow. You grow, but you need a mentor beside you. So the next thing you know, I'm doing 90%, and Charlie's just hanging out and just being a good buddy and friend. And the next thing you know, Charlie and I finish up one day, and his wife Mary Beth says, "You're done." I looked at Charlie, and Charlie looked at me, and he handed me the stuff, and he says, "I'm retired. You're ready to go." But see, that's the process. ABC. Same deal for you and me. Same thing. You can't start at C without going through A and B. You just can't. Then in Acts 11, 25, 26, we find the student and the teacher working together, and that's what I thought about another one of my mentors was Chris Darnt. Brings back good memories. We did anointings. I don't know if you know what anointing is, but you anoint people for healing. It's very special. Chris taught me how to do that. Mentors like that. They get in your heart. They grow you. These are the people that you need to get in your life. These are the people that will help you grow like you never thought you could grow. You need a Barnabas in your life. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you say. You think you know it all. You need a Barnabas in your life. Because they will pour their knowledge into you if they see you're willing to learn. They will. These guys did. So who is your Barnabas? Think about it. Who is your Barnabas? Who is that mentor in your life? Who is that mentor that's wise and responsible tutor who advises, guides, teaches, inspires, challenges, corrects, serves as a model to you on your faith journey? Who is it? Can you name them today? If you can't, you need to find one. Those mentors I talked about are still Pastor Brian for me, Lindsay, Ryan, Kim, or the whole staff here are mentors to me because I'm learning from them. I'm growing from their knowledge. It's helping me to grow in mine. You see, what I found as I age, I'm not keeping up with what's going on in the younger generation. So Ryan and Lindsay are really pulling me along and helping me out, and Brian too. But I'm learning from them. It doesn't matter. Your mentor doesn't have to be an old guy like me. Because an old guy like me may not know as much as a young person like Ryan. But that's not the point. We can grow from each other. That's what we do. See, Timothy had Paul. Paul had Barnabas. Joshua had Moses. Who is yours? If you don't have one, seek one out. And if you're serious about it, they will pour their life into you and make you the person you thought you never could be. You see, a good teacher is like a candle. It consumes itself to light the ways for others. It will give all of itself. It'll burn itself out for you. If you want to go with a pitcher of water, just pour it into a glass. Same deal. They will pour their life into you. If you want to grow, it's a great way to do it. Who's your Timothy? We talked about a Paul and a teacher and needing a Barnabas. But who is that person in your life you can share your faith journey and life experiences with to inspire them in their journey through the life with Jesus? I right away went to a parent and their children. I could just relate it better there with that imagery. But who is your Timothy? Who are those people you inspire? If you're a teacher, maybe it's your students. Those people you inspire. Maybe it's your parents. But who is your Timothy? You need that as well to continue to grow. See, we can't grow through life alone. Yeah, we can study books. We can read all the self-help books, the spirituality books. We can read all that stuff. And yeah, it'll help. But if you notice the series that we're doing, family definitely helps. You grow a whole lot faster when you're with your families. You can grow a whole lot faster. Find those Timothys and Barnabas in your family. We are family. We need to be connected in order to grow individually and as a family of God. If you want to grow this church in the place that God wants it to be, you got to work together and grow with one another. See, as we grow in faith, we break those barriers at once constrained us. Dean was talking about again today, about that worship barrier. And how it could be a personal one or it could be one that we carry with us. But those barriers can be broken. But if they're not, they can ruin you. We're doing this study right now, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, this book. And if you're in a group, great. Because you're already starting to grow. You're growing to know yourself a whole lot better. and you're getting to know Jesus a whole lot better. And better yet, you're growing with your friends that are around you. And that's a cool thing. But if you haven't got in a group or haven't been in this, you can still get the book. And I encourage you to get the book and read it. But don't read it alone. Make sure you have a friend with you or someone you can bounce things off of. Because see, that's how we learn. A Barnabas and a Timothy. You need those. But in this book, it tells you about barriers. It tells you how to break barriers. There's one in here about Chuck Yeager. Back in 1947, there was this thing called the sound barrier that needed to be broken. Okay, and everyone thought it was impossible. They didn't know how this would be. They wanted to go to space and go in the upper atmosphere. But they had to break through the sound barrier first. And everybody was like, oh man, I don't know, we can't do that. We don't have enough science. And, you know, there's all these things that can stunt your growth. You just put them in your head and just keep hammering at it. But Chuck and the technology kept getting better. And finally, on his ninth try, he broke through the sound barrier. And you know what he found out? He did a lot of shaking and rattling and rolling, getting through it. But once he got through it, it was a smooth path. And he said it was like sticking his finger through Jell-O. Now, did you ever do that? I didn't either, but I'm going to try it next time we make some at home. But sticking your finger through Jell-O. Sometimes we make these barriers way, way more stronger than they should be. Those barriers that seem to be impossible to overcome. You forget who you got on your side here. You got God. No barrier is too big. Nothing is too wide, too great. With God, all things are possible. You got to remember that when you're growing, or your growth will be stunted. Yeah, I got it. Those barriers are meant to be broken in order to grow. It's the only way we grow. Listen to what it says in here. I'm going to read a few excerpts from this. Only God knows your future. Okay, you may think you do, but God only knows. If you move forward, however, you will find that God is with you and behind you. His grace is sufficient. His power is accessible. And the unknown before you is really like poking through Jell-O. You got to try that. Getting to know yourself is the hard part, but it's the way you grow. I encourage you to read this book and grow even more as you get through that. But each time we break through one of those barriers, we take a step and grow in the person God wants us to be. You've got to remember that. Sometimes those hard things in life that we go through are the biggest growth moments in our lives. You know what I'm talking about. Most people in here have been through some big barrier wall that they have come up against. And when they come out on the other side, it may have hurt. You may be a little battered up. Your plane may have been rocking. But you have grown. And now you'll be able to help someone else out who has to go through something similar someday. You will be the teacher to help that person. If we're not growing, we're stagnant. Or you're dying. That's just the way it is. If you're not growing in faith, if you said you learned enough, you know everything there is to know about this book, you're full baloney. Okay, because you will never, ever on this side of heaven know everything that's in this book. I don't care who you are. It wasn't meant to know every single thing in this book. It was meant for you to grow and grow and grow every time you open it. So if you're not opening this, or not in a study group, or in a group at all, and you think you've learned everything there is to learn about Jesus, you're in this pool of stagnant water. Get out. You see, Christians are in the minority in the Western society today. There's more people out of church than there are in, and it's getting less each day. See, Jesus is put on the back burner for many in many areas of life. In our lives, sometimes we put Jesus on the back burner. We stick him on the shelf and get him down when it's convenient. That's not what we were taught to do. We weren't taught to do that, right? Jesus is number one. Everything else comes after that. Are we teaching that out there? Are we teaching that to our children? Are we teaching that to our co-workers? We've been students for a long time. If you've been in the church for a long time, it's time to be the teacher now. We don't want the life of Jesus to die out like some of those traditions and things have died out from the past. And you say, oh, that's not going to happen. But look at where the church was and where it is today. What happened? We don't talk about him anymore. We don't talk about Jesus. It's taboo in some circles to talk, to be religious. That's what we were taught. Dean had a song this morning, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. We sang all the verses. I didn't even know them all. I just knew that part. We were taught that. Do we share that? See, we always should be bouncing from student to teacher. Always. Matthew 28, many of you know this one. 16 through 20, let's open it up and read it. What do you think? I think it bears repeating. I know I've mentioned it a couple times. It's a great commission. It's our walking papers. You've been taught who Jesus is. You've been taught that Jesus has died for you on the cross. Would you die for him? That's what we're asked to do sometimes. To die from self. To be with him. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Are you doing your part to live your life for Jesus? To growing in the Word of God and sharing that knowledge in a loving and caring way for others? Are you talking about Jesus in your areas of life? You've been taught. You come here every Sunday. You've been in many Sunday school groups. You've been in many life groups, many of you. What are you doing with it? It's great to live your life for that, but are you telling anybody about it? Are you being that teacher and helping anybody find their way? It's great to be the student, but you got to take that knowledge on the street, man, and be the teacher. You can't keep it in here. You got to pour it out. Because the life of Jesus can't be lost. And if we lose it, whose fault is it? It's we. It's we, the teachers, who are just can't break through that barrier to be bold enough to share the one who died for us to others so their lives could be saved. We just can't let that happen. We need to teach the word. Who's your Barnabas? Who's your Timothy? Who's your Savior and Lord? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, God, I just ask a blessing upon everyone here, that they will grow in you, that they will be the student and listen to what the teacher is telling them. But then, when their time is ripe, when it's time for them to go out into the world, they can go out in boldness, they can go out and tell the world that Jesus is Lord, he is my Savior, he died for me on the cross, and I just love him so much. God, give them the boldness to do that and to bring the word of Jesus out into the public so his life, his death, and his resurrection will live on from generation to generation. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.